اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام. وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يداه، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك، فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم إنك علي، يا ربي إنك تدعوني فولي عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك، فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجود عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله، ولا شبيه يشاكله، ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي، ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني. فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا، الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله، الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين، والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين، الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك، اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم، وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، حججك على عبادك ومنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدوس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعية إلى كتابك والقائمة بدينك، استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهلها، وتذل بها النفاق وأهلها، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المهم به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. انصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآل محمد، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجل، وبضر تكشف، ونصر تعز، وسلطان حق تظهر، ورحمة منك تجللناها، وعافية منك تلبسناها، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم
بر محمد و آل محمد صلوات. برائے خوشنودی امام زمانہ بلندتر صلوات.
روکے دیتی ہے زینب دہائے روکے دیتی ہے زینب دہائے گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میاں آج ہم پر یتیمی ہے چھائی گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت پھر گیا ہم سے کیسا مقدر پڑ گئے اوس اپنے چمن پر چرخ نے کیسی آفت دکھائی گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت کس کے غم میں یہ آفت بپا ہے کس کے ماتم میں آہو بکا ہے کس کے غم میں یہ آفت بپا ہے کس کے ماتم میں آہو بکا ہے مجھ کو دیتا نہیں کچھ دکھائے گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت ابن ملجم نے کیسی دغا کی میرے بابا پہ کیسی جفا کی ابن ملجم نے کیسی دغا کی میرے بابا پہ کیسی جفا کی کیسی آفت نمازی پہ آئی گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر در کی میت لا کے اس لاش پر کوئی وارے مجھ کو بابا پہ صدقے اتارے لا کے اس لاش پر کوئی وارے مجھ کو بابا پہ صدقے اتارے کام آئی نہ زہرا کی جائے گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت کون بے کس کے پر سے کو آئے کون آ کے غم اپنا بٹائے کون بے کس کے پر سے کو آئے کون آ کے غم اپنا بٹائے پھر گئی ہم سے ساری خدائی گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت رو کے دیتی ہے زینب دہائی گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت آج ہم پہ یتیمی ہے چھائی گھر سے جاتی ہے حیدر کی میت
درود بھیجیے محمد آل محمد. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ رب العالمین بارئ الخلائق اجمعین بعث الانبیاء والمرسلین والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا و نبینا و حبیب قلوبنا و طبیب نفوسنا و شفیع ذنوبنا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد و علی اہل بیته الطیبین الطاہرین المعصومین المکرمین المنتجبین لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين for the hastening the return of our Imam. Let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد. Tonight is the night of martyrdom of أمير المؤمنين، أرواحنا فداه. We express our condolences first and foremost to the Imam of our time, عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف, and to all the followers and lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us be of those that are closer to true followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We've been talking about how Ali ibn Abi Talib is awwal mazloom. He is someone who went through and experienced a form of oppression, and his rights were violated in ways during his lifetime and afterwards in many ways. Part of that has to do with the way we, who claim to be following Ali ibn Abi Talib, not only loving him, we claim to be following him, are still not understanding what Ali ibn Abi Talib stood for. And we don't, while we claim we follow him, what we do doesn't match that. At times it's a matter of weakness. After having known what needs to be done, like basic wajibat and salah, we know salah needs to be done. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the one who, in prayer, his connection with Allah was such that they took out the arrow or spear from his blessed leg or foot without him noticing that. He's someone that salah is a very important part of his life. We understand that, we know that. If we have deficiencies in that area, it really has to do with the struggle of trying to deal with the nafs and the desires, the temptations of, and forgetfulness, negligent of the time of prayer, and so on and so forth. Although that's not good and we should try our best, we should keep trying and bettering that, there's certain areas that not only do we not do, unfortunately, we sometimes support a view opposite that of Ali ibn Abi Talib while we claim we are Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that's what really hurts. That's what really bothers one. We discussed a couple last night, we discussed one as well, and tonight will be, I guess, the last one that we will discuss. This one has to do with the way we feel about the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullah alayhi, was very harsh against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No mercy. On the first night we talked about nifaq and munafiqeen and how we're supposed to be feeling, or how we're supposed to be dealing, identifying munafiq, who is a munafiq, and how Ali treated the munafiqeen, and so on and so forth. That was a different discussion. That is important. We discussed that. This is about how we should feel towards the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times it seems our feelings collectively, again, we're not talking about a few, like Hajj Ghassim, rahmatullah alayhi, this great shaheed, his approach towards the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in line with, following what Ali ibn Abi Talib stood for. That's what he was like. He didn't admire them. He didn't want their approval and recognition. Not only that, when they were angry with him, he was happy that he is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One line which is slightly off topic, but it does have to do with the way he felt towards the enemies of Allah and in that context of his jihad fi sabilillah. The leader just mentioned it today. The leader had a speech earlier today, Iran time. And he said there, regarding Shahid Hajj Qasim Soleimani, he said they were threatening him, and he had heard the Americans were threatening him, if you don't get your act together the way we want, we're going to kill you. We're going to assassinate you. The leader said he had told his friends, they are threatening me with something that I'm looking for on in the various places, on the mountains and in the valleys, I'm searching for that. You're threatening me with something I'm looking for. These few individuals, the relatively few, we have, alhamdulillah, a rising number of such believers, but still compared to the majority of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, they are few. How does Amirul Mu'mineen feel towards the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the enemies of Islam? The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Muhammadun Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ah ashidda' ala al-kuffar ruhama' baynahum. They're very harsh against kuffar. Kuffar are the ones we're talking about. Kuffar doesn't mean anyone who's not Muslim. No, your neighbors are not kuffar. I mean, I don't know your neighbors, but generally our neighbors are not kuffar. They're non-Muslims, but they're not kuffar. Kuffar are enemies of Allah. There's verses in the Quran that define what kufr means. The usage of the word kafir for a non-Muslim is not a Quranic usage as far as I've understood. It is a usage predominantly by our jurists, our fuqaha, for reasons why that term has developed that meaning. Generally, when we say kafir, we understand non-Muslims. That's not the Quranic usage of the word kafir. Kafir is an enemy of Allah. Most non-Muslims aren't enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Enemies of God. They're harsh against them. They recognize them as enemies of God. Ali could have easily behaved in a way where the enemies of God would not be the enemies of Ali. Those who didn't like God and God's teachings and God's lordship wouldn't have been hating on Ali ibn Abi Talib. He could have easily made choices where that would have been the case. He could have done things easily at the time of the Prophet in his early years. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib was only 10 years of age when the Prophet announced, or he was given the task of guiding people. The Risala of the Prophet himself was 40, Ali ibn Abi Talib was 10. From age 10, he was beside the Prophet. From age 10, the Imam was the wazir, the assistant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, a 10-year-old. This 10-year-old lives in a society. He sees the Prophet and Khadija go to the masjid, Masjid al-Haram. They perform the prayer. How does everybody else deal with them? Obviously, nobody liked them. Nobody liked what they were doing. The phrase that was consistently repeated was La ilaha illallah. You know what La ilaha illallah means in that society? Today, you say La ilaha illallah, it's not English, it's not Urdu, it's not our language. We say, okay, we're Muslim, La ilaha illallah. We don't live in
at least here, we don't live in a pagan society. They were pagans that worshipped those idols. La ilaha illallah. Every time they said it is that these are not gods. The whole society is based on this paradigm that these wooden structures, stone structures, whatever structures they've built, statues, that they call idols, these are gods. They sacrificed human life. They slaughtered their children for these idols. That's how much they believed in these idols. The Quran tells us this. Can you imagine how much attachment they have? And the Prophet, La ilaha illallah. Every time he says, La ilaha illallah, these people firmly believe that these are gods. Like, ouch, that hurts. And so obviously they're going to respond in the ways they did. Ali ibn Abi Talib is a 10-year-old. He's watching this. He's seeing what happens. He could have watched this and decided, you know what? I don't want people to dislike me. Let me present that part of history a little differently. A lot of those people that were with the kuffar and were actually mistreating the Prophet were also not kuffar in that sense that the Quran talks about. They were ignorant people. They did what they did because that's the culture they were raised in. That was the ideology they were raised with. These were people that from their early ages, they saw these guys are the ones that rule. These are the ones that determine what we do, what we don't do, how we perform Hajj, and so on and so forth. They're very much attached. It's not based on reason or understanding. It's not that they understood La ilaha illallah in the early days. We're talking about the early days. I gave the example of going to Masjid al-Haram. The Holy Prophet and Khadija salamullah alayhima, and along with Ali ibn Abi Talib, we mention it in a way where he is watching, he's seeing, observing what is happening. Since the focus is Ali ibn Abi Talib. At that time, most of the people who were doing what they were doing were people that were ignorant. You've heard the story of the lady who used to dump garbage on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi on the way back home when he would come back from the masjid. She would do that, and then a couple of days she didn't show up. He said, where is she? They said, she's ill. He went and visited her. What happened? She changed. What does that tell you? She didn't genuinely understand what the Prophet is saying and go against it. I'm like, I hate God. No. She's an ignorant person. Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, these leaders of Mecca have caused that ignorant person to think what she's doing. Most of them, they may follow that. They may hate me. If they see this, they may say a few negative words too. We're walking in a IKEA in Houston. I remember a few years back, and my wife and daughter are with us. They're hijab. You know, I don't know how much, obviously I don't wear this attire in IKEA. I think that would scare everybody away. Shut down the store. But hijab, this lady turned around, kept starting in a very ugly face, like, yeah, this place is filled with Muslims and Indians. And she kept repeating it, and her husband had to like shut her up, and because I just ignored her. I'm like, poor ignorant person. I don't know who's influenced her. They may say negative things, wrong things. It's not that they've understood what Islam says and that, oh, this person or this hijab represents this beautiful religion, but I hate it. No, they don't know. Those kuffar, the Quran refers to them as a'immatul kufr, the ones who are leading the movement of kufr. Some people have tagged along without knowing what it is. Some people went to the military here. I think mentioned this before. There's so many of them. I've personally met one. At least one I know personally I've met. There's plenty of stuff online you can check. His brother from Dallas. I think Hispanic background. He spoke Spanish, I believe. I mean, I didn't see him speak, but from what I recollect, that's his background. He joined the military. He'd gone to Iraq at age 18. And now he's Muslim. And he was crying. He said, "When I went, I didn't know what I'm doing. I just thought, oh, I need money. I have a wife. I have a child. I don't have money. What do I do? This is easy cash. I get a lot of money." I just went over there. And when we got there, we realized what we're doing. Like, oh my God, what the hell are we doing? They change. They don't know. They may even go take weapons. They may be dressed in the military attire here or abroad. They may have participated in some. They don't know, though. A'immatul kuf are the ones who create this military and put on its agenda to kill innocent people in Vietnam, in Iraq, in wherever they've done that. And they've done it in so many parts of the world, in so many different ways. They're a'immatul kufr. Ali ibn Abi Talib could have behaved in a way where a'immatul kufr over there in Mecca, the Abu Sufyans and Abu Jahls and Abu Lahabs, would even respect him. Like, yeah, Ali, come here. You sit over with us. We hate Muhammad. What is he saying? God said this to me. I saw this angel. وَلَّقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. God said, no, he's not a lunatic and he's not making things up. He did see the angel on the horizon. Like, oh, what is he talking about? Come here, Ali. You sit here. You're with us. He could have behaved in that way. But he behaves in a way where it seems, based on the behavior of the people, because all those people who hated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allahumma salli, eventually had no choice but to praise Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Abu Sufyan was the worst, staunchest enemy of Muhammad, and of course, Ali Muhammad later on, but the Prophet himself, the staunchest enemy, was Abu Sufyan. You couldn't get any worse than him. The way the Prophet treated him, Abu Sufyan had no choice, at least openly and publicly, to praise the Prophet. Because he conquered Mecca. The Prophet conquered Mecca. Abu Sufyan just came over there. He sought advice from Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet. What should I do? This is pretty scary. Because the Prophet, based on God's guidance, planned that very well. They just suddenly, the mushrikeen of Mecca, realized the army, the huge army of Islam, is on the outskirts of town. It was a secret plan. The Prophet had planned it. The plans, they tried to leak those plans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Prophet. The plans were not leaked. The mushrikeen didn't know. Just living their lives, thinking, okay, the Prophet is in the Medina. Yeah, he's going strong. What do we do? What do we not do? Suddenly, before they know it, Muhammad is, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is on the outskirts of time with a huge army. There is no preparation we can do. Who do we call? We don't have an army large enough to deal with these people. We're done for. So he sought advice from Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet. What do we do? He said, well, I think if you go and surrender and say we're Muslim, he's going to let you live. And that's what he did. And the Prophet, that was God's plan, of course. Mecca was conquered without any bloodshed. The center of Kufr was conquered without any bloodshed. Not only did the Prophet accept his Islam, although it was superficial, it wasn't really, it didn't stem from Iman. The Prophet said, whoever's in Abu Sufyan's house, whoever doesn't accept me, but they want to show that they don't want to fight me, they can go to the house of Abu Sufyan, they're safe. Prophet treated him. Everybody knows how Abu Sufyan treated the Prophet. Now the Prophet is the one who has his power. Now he's coming forward. This is how he treated Abu Sufyan. Can Abu Sufyan go around and say anything negative against the Prophet? But as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi passed away, all these various people who all this time had any grudges against the Prophet, because the one who made it all happen under the guidance of the Prophet is Ali ibn Abi Talib, all those grudges came out and you
you saw what happened. Why is that? Because of the way he dealt with the kuffar. Those same kuffar that didn't end up taking it out on the Prophet because they couldn't. Now they're taking it out on the Prophet's successor. Well, couldn't have Ali, salamullah alayh, lived his life those 23 years in a way where he would have created like a buffer between himself or between the kuffar and the Prophet and somehow made it such that he's liked by the Prophet and the kuffar, because that's how some people wanted to play it. You know, people say they want to play it safe. This is our problem. This is what we're talking about. This is what we try to do while claiming we are Shi'atu Ali ibn Abi Talib. Let me take that off of me. I'm a muhib of Ali ibn Abi Talib. If I decide that I want to take this stance, I want to play it safe. I know the Prophet is right. He's on the right tracks. But I also want these guys not to hate me. I want these guys to be okay with me. So I'm going to play it safe with them. I won't be harsh against them. I'll smile at them as well. Let them smile back. Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salam alayhi could have done that. But God said, no, these are my enemies. Do you love God? They hated the Prophet as God's messenger. Before God, before the Prophet said that I am the messenger of God, they didn't have an issue with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The behavior of the Prophet, because he didn't have the job of telling them that what you're doing is wrong. He was a good person. He helped. They said, well, the stone Hajar al-Aswad has fallen out. We have a fight here about who's going to put it there. Oh, Muhammad is a good person. Let's ask him, what should we do? He said, okay, I have an idea for you. Let's put the stone in a carrier, some sort of cloth or something. I don't know what exactly the material was. And all the tribes hold hands together, put it there. Dispute is resolved. Well, they went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When did they start hating on the Prophet? When the Prophet came out and said, God has told me to preach to you and teach you and tell you what you're doing is wrong. These idols are not gods. He listened to what God said. They hated him. They told him, Muhammad, look, we'll give you all the women you want, all the money you want, all, just don't do the things you're doing. What was what the Prophet did? What God told him to do. They want to be okay with a Muhammad that goes against what God tells him to do. Do you love God or you not love God? They hate God, enemies of Allah. They don't want God and His teachings. Do you want someone who hates God to like you? Can you behave towards someone who hates God in a way that you try to attract them to yourself, to me? I want them to be okay with me. Ali ibn Abi Talib could have done that, but he didn't. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one that shows us, no? Ashadda' ala al-kuffar. Ashadda' ala al-kuffar. He was the harshest. In the battlefield, no one could stand before him. Why? Is he bloodthirsty? No. These are kuffar though. They've come to fight God's religion. Their problem isn't even the Prophet. Their problem is God's message. We don't like that. We have been influenced by a certain culture that I find very fascinating. It's very fascinating how Muslimin that have been influenced by Western culture, living in Western countries, including the United States of America, tell each other or tell those who want to speak the way Ali ibn Abi Talib spoke only, or try to move in that direction, which is ashadda ala al-kuffar, like, look, it's not good to hate. It's not good to be harsh. You gotta be pleasant. Just culture causes a Muslim to tone things down. The same culture produces someone like Trump. And not just Trump. I mean, come on. Half the voters voted for Trump last time, at least. This time, I don't know exactly what the percentage was. Although Trump, it wasn't only this aspect that we're talking. He was, I think, it seems like a lot of people liked the harsh language against Islam, against all the things that he spoke against. And even the Democrats, language is maybe smoother or they're a little more tactful with their words, but the same Biden, for instance, when Trump ordered the assassination of Haj Qasim and Haj Abu Mahdi, and he, I don't know how he tried to brag about it, because he seemed pretty uncomfortable and pretty scared in that press conference after that he wanted to announce. He could barely breathe. I think he had Pampers on. But anyway, he said it. Okay. Oh, what did these guys who say that, no, we're liberal, tolerance, and all that junk. He supported the decision to take out Haj Qasim. That's what they all do. That's what they all did. They preach harshness against Muslimin. They promote the harshness of the Zionist regime. They okay it. They justify it. That's correct. All this ill behavior throughout the world that they have against so many different people, even police brutality here, all that harshness is fine. But if you so much as say you support Hamas, which is showing shidda against the Zionist regime, you're a hate preacher. Let's smoothen it out. Let's not be so harsh. Can we not use the term enemies of God? We're talking about people that we know. Yeah, talk about that and mention Muawiyah, mention Yazid, mention all these folks in the historic context. But can we not use that term when we're talking about Joe Biden, our president? What would Ali do? If Ali was just picturing what you know of Ali, and I hope we know enough at least to answer this question somewhat right. I hope to God no Shia thinks if Ali was here, he would be thanking Joe Biden or saying that this president is the best ruler the world has seen. Please, I hope we don't think that way. If Ali was alive today, what do you think he would be doing in the current context? What do you think he'd be doing? Do you think he'd go to Jerusalem with an Israeli visa and say, I want to do ziyarah here. Thank you guys for keeping this place safe. Those Palestinians don't know how to keep this place clean and safe or whatever. You think Ali would do that? You know, Ali would come to Washington, D.C. and go to Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument or whatever that structure there is, and all these symbols of American power, political power as they have. Go to the Statue of Liberty, like, oh, nice work, French, you guys did great, and it was nice that you gave it to the United States of America. Go to Paris and say, oh, the Renaissance was great. Is that what Ali ibn Abi thought it would do? Go to the Buckingham Palace, the Queen of England? Or do you think if he would be around, he would, I don't know, find some basement in Kufa or Najaf and say, you know, this is not my world, I'm going to go underground? I'm not going to worry about anything? Or would you see that if Ali was alive today, let me rephrase that. If Ali was alive today as Ali, not just as a person, as a human being, if Ali, with what we know, how he behaved during his time, if Ali would be alive today and he would speak, what do you think Joe Biden would do to Ali? What do you think the Zionist regime, do you think the Zionist regime would even stamp his passport? Do you think the Queen would like to meet him as Ali? Yeah, if he becomes Muawiyah, it's a different story, maybe. But Ali as Ali, do you think so? How would Ali deal with the current conditions and the people and power? The enemies of Allah are the enemies of Allah. Ashadda ala al-kuffar is the verse of the Quran. Ali ibn Abi Talib would quickly identify, would know these enemies of Allah, and he would be very shadid towards them. If Ali lived here in the United States of America, similar to the time that he lived in Mecca under the rule of the Taghut, Ali fought against that Taghut, angered that Taghut. Himself, his father, his brother, by protecting the Prophet, by promoting the message of the Prophet, by being the right hand of the Prophet. Ali ibn Abi Talib was very harsh, and then when they moved away and established their own government, then the kuffar came to fight them. That's when Dhul-Faqar was created. That's when La Fata Illa Ali, La Saif Illa Dhul-Faqar. This is not a chant for us to say, oh, Ali was really good on the battlefield. This is a manifestation of Ashidda Ala Al-Kuffar. Now God has allowed us to militarily fight back. You killed us in Mecca, God said, be patient. You tortured us in Mecca, God said, be patient. Those who can't take this, migrate. They went to Abyssinia or Habasha. Now you're in Medina. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Now permission is granted. Ali ibn Abi Talib's harshness is seen. He is now 23, 24 years of age. And in the Battle of Badr, he's one of the initial people that goes out and fights. And the Battle of Badr is won. And anyone who saw that battle sees how Ali ibn Abi Talib stands out. His harshness in his blade is the talk of town in Mecca. In the Battle of Uhud, when they're winning, Ali ibn Abi Talib's sword. And when everybody is running, Ali ibn Abi Talib's sword is the main sword that protects the Prophet, that doesn't allow the kuffar to accomplish their goal. God knows how many people he took out in the Battle of Uhud. Then in the battle of Ahzab or Khandaq, as we know it, and then in Hunayn, this is the shiddah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. If he would come here, while he's here, okay, be patient. We're going to do what we need to do. We're going to preach it. FBI is going to show up. They're going to take you. Sometimes they torture. I haven't really heard of any real, for anyone who's living in the US, I don't know. I haven't heard of it. Meaning the types of torture that they give people like in Guantanamo. Or in God knows how many other dungeons they have in the rest of the world. Or in the occupied lands, the Israelis. They give you that, be patient. Okay, right now your war is try to teach the people what they're doing is wrong. Show them what these people are leading them towards is wrong. They're going to imprison you. They're going to torture you. They'll take you out. They took out Malcolm X. He was a shaheed. What did he preach? He preached. He spoke the truth. He encouraged the people not to be afraid. They took him out. Clearly they took him out. Well, they do that. What do? Be patient. You're not going to be fighting militarily while you're in this country. While you're here, that's not. If they fight you, those who are there in Iran, when they waged war against them, in Iraq right now, they've gone there. So we're not leaving. The believers there have got to make them leave. Okay, that's أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بَأَنَّهُمْ ظُلُمُ. They have every right to do that. You came here, you killed our women, children, elderly, young, everyone. You destroyed our infrastructure. Get out. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بَأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُ. So شِدَّة. We don't have the guts to show shiddah or harshness against the kuffar by even in any public capacity supporting any of this justified legitimate behavior of the muqawama in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen. The shiddah, the harshness against kuffar that we're supposed to be showing today in this country or in other Western countries is not what Ali showed in the battles of Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and Hunayn. Because our conditions are not that. The harshness that we need to show is the harshness Ali ibn Abi Talib showed in Mecca, which is to keep going with the right message, tell everybody who these people are, not give in, expose their hypocrisy. Support those legitimate people anywhere in the world. The Cubans, for example, right south of the border, they had every right to defend themselves against the American. The American establishment hates the Cuban establishment, will die out of anger. They have every right to do what they did. And continue to. And you have no right to sanction them. Everything you do is illegitimate. And everything they do against you is legitimate. The things that we know. I don't know. Well, they're not Muslim, so I don't know what measures they will take. But they are dealing with an aggressor. You are aggressors. You don't have a right to aggression. Our harshness against kuffar is to simply say these things clearly and openly. We don't like you, Biden. We don't support you. We don't even want to show this much harshness against A'immatul Kufr. On the day of Quds, which is next Friday, inshallah, all of you join. I'm going to go, I've mentioned it, I'm going to go to Israeli council, do whatever I can out there, stand and be a thorn in their eyes by just standing there. Whoever wants to come, can come. I'm no organization, I'm nobody, I'm just a person, I'm going to do that. Whoever likes to go, can go. We speak against the Zionist regime. We're supposed to. This is harshness. That is our taklif here. Let's not talk about that. Well, don't call yourself Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib if you think that's wrong. Because if Ali was here, in the given conditions, he wouldn't even be here. He would be there with a weapon in his hands.
fighting directly against these people. That's what he would be doing. You would want to support Ali ibn Abi Talib. Some people don't like to support the Islamic Revolution because what? Because they stand for the leader of the Islamic Revolution is the one that said Israel must be wiped out. Like, don't use that. Don't say that. What harshness are you going to have? Israel has got to be wiped off the map. There should be no Israel because there isn't. Well, that's what the Islamic Revolution stands for. Like, don't talk about them. Why? Because, well, aren't they standing for everything that Ali stood for? So if you're not willing to support that name because of things that they're doing that Ali ibn Abi Talib would be doing if he were around, then if Ali were actually around, you wouldn't be supporting him. And you call yourself Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib? This is what we mean by mazlumiya. Ali ibn Abi Talib is mazlum right now. Most Shias don't want to. Even those who like, they see it, they're like, oh, I love Hajj Ghazi. We'll say that somewhere meaningful. No, I don't want to. Yeah, you talk about Israel like, yeah, you're right. And so, well, why don't you say anything? Why don't you do anything? Same situation, like we're Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, but then Ali calls for battle for Safin. We're like, we love you, Ali, but we're busy. We got this thing, we got that thing to do. I'm afraid, I got family members in Sham. I'm afraid they're going to start hating on me if I join your army. Sometimes I travel to Sham and I want to be treated well there. You know, I love you, but. Well, at least say that. Say, I love Ali. I don't follow him. I love these parts of Ali. I love the historic Ali. I don't love these timeless concepts, ideals of Ali ibn Abi Talib that apply to every time. Because if you like them, if you stand for them, you can't behave in the way that we're generally behaving. We couldn't be. Sallallahu alayka ya mazloom. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. For Ali, I was listening to the leader's speech today. He mentioned a khutbah from Nahjul Balagha. Amir al-Mu'mineen spoke to the people. He said, regarding the idea of Shahada in his, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen says in the khutbah that after the battle of Uhud, all those who were martyred, including their uncle Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, before Imam al-Husayn, he was referred to, during the time of the Prophet, he was referred to as Sayyid al-Shuhada, the uncle of the Prophet. Amir al-Mu'mineen said when he was martyred and all those others were martyred, I got all those injuries, but I wasn't martyred. Look at the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib for martyrdom, for shahada. How can you be a Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib and not love to be martyred? Ali says, I told the Prophet that after the battle, and the Prophet told me, don't worry, shahada is written for you. Ali in the khutbah says that conversation between me and the Prophet was before. In another context, I told the Prophet later on. I told him, after the battle, I had that conversation. I told you this. You told me shahada is written for you. He said, the Prophet told me, and it is such. Then the Prophet told him, how will you be patient with it? And Ali, Salamullah alayhi, says, I told the Prophet, patience is for something that's not desirable. Something that you don't like. Shahada is not something that I'll be needing to be patient with.
but it's something that I would love to have. I was thinking why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi said, how will you be patient? Ali loves shahada, but the Prophet saying, according to that account, how will you be patient? And I don't know, what came to my mind is there was a gradual shahada of the Prophet, of Amirul Mu'mineen. From Medina onwards is the shahada of Amirul Mu'mineen. That's what the patience is for 25 years. Ali is gradually being tortured to death. And the moment of his departure from this world is the end of it. That is the easiest part of it. That is the easiest part, the departure from this world. Whatever pain there was in that blade striking the head of Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, there is physical pain in that. However, compared to what he dealt with after the demise of the Prophet, that is not painful. That is seeing that the time of this difficult life is coming to an end and rejoining with Fatimatu Zahra salamullahi alayha is coming. Sallallahu alayk ya Mawla ya Mazloom. Take your hearts to Najaf and to Kufa. Najaf is where Amir al-Mu'mineen was buried. This last night of Amir al-Mu'mineen is in his house in Kufa. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم روحي فداك يا مولاي صلى الله على يا مولى الوحدين يا أول مظلوم روحي فداك يا علي I can't call myself your follower. You've raised the bar too high for me to be even considered a follower of you. But I do love you, Ya Ali, Ruhi Fadak, Ya Mawla. I can't do this, Ya Ali, but you are God's hand in this world. You can take my hand. The worst thing I can imagine is while in this world, the closest I can get is to your shrine. But upon death, I hear your presence. Those who are close to you see you.
On the day of judgment, you will stand and God will say, for all his followers, for all your followers to line up behind you. The worst thing I can imagine is on the day of judgment, if I'm not close to you. Ya Ali, tonight is one of the nights of Qadr. Ya Ali, I want to beg you by the right of your wife, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, by the right of you wishing to see her face once again when she covered it, by the right of the moment that you saw her crushed between the door and the wall, Ya Ali, take our hands, make us soldiers for your son, the Mahdi. Ya Ali, who cannot love you? There's an account, I hope we can all relate to this. It's the last days of Ali. Those who loved him in Kufa heard the news. Ali is in bed, some say. The Aitam, the orphans heard Ali needs milk. They all gathered with whatever amount of milk they could gather. Give this to our father. Others gathered there behind the door of Ali. Can you tell us how our Mawla is doing? Once Imam al-Mujtaba came out, he told the people how the Imam's conditions were. Then he told them, thank you, may Allah bless you and reward you. Disperse, go back to your homes, don't stay here, pray for the Imam. Moments later, the Imam came out again, he saw a man standing there. He said to him, didn't I say for you all to disperse and leave? He said, Ya Imam al-Mujtaba, where do I go? This is the house of my Mawla. Ya Ali, where do we go other than your door? Ya Mawla, imagine what was happening in the house at that time. Probably Zainab was sitting by her father, watching while Ali melts before her eyes. He's looking at the white cloth around his head. She's looking at that. Now he's so pale, he's lost so much blood, you can't tell the difference between the color of his skin and the color of the cloth. Ya Mawla, his children around him. One account says, they were so sad, they were crying around the Imam, the children of Zahra, the crying for Amir al-Mu'mineen, but Ali tries to soothe their pain. He says to them, why are you crying? If you would see what I'm seeing, you wouldn't cry. Here's the Prophet, he's here. There's your mother, Fatima al-Zahra. Ali is reuniting with Fatima al-Zahra. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawlai. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين
یہ جنازہ ہے اسلام کے بانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا لوگوں یہ جنازہ ہے اسلام کے بانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا زینب نے کہا بابا کربلا میں چلے آنا زینب نے کہا بابا کربلا میں چلے آنا منظر میں دکھاؤں گی اکبر کی جوانی کا لوگوں یہ جنازہ ہے اسلام کے بانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کٹ جائیں گے بازو بھی عباس باوفا کے کٹ جائیں گے بازو بھی با وفا کے تیروں سے ہوگا چلنی مشکیز اب پانی کا لوگوں یہ جنازہ ہے اسلام کے بانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا بکھرے گا کربلا میں قاسم کے سر کا سہرا بکھرے گا کربلا میں قاسم کے سر کا سہرا خوشیاں سمیٹ لے گا عالم وہ ویرانی کا لوگوں یہ جنازہ ہے اسلام کے بانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربلا کی کہانی کا آغاز ہو رہا کربر کی کہانی کا تاہ حشر میرے مولا مشتاق رہوں تیرا تاہ حشر میرے مولا مشتاق رہوں تیرا مل جائے شرف مجھ کو بس تیری غلامی کا لوگوں یہ جنازہ ہے اسلام کے بانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے کربل کی کہانی کا آغاز ہو رہا ہے یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا شاہ خیبر دیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا آج بابا مر گیا ہے شبر و شبیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا شاہ خیبر گیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا فاطمہ زہرا کے مرکد سے صدا آنے لگی فاطمہ زہرا کے مرکد سے صدا آنے لگی اے صدا آنے لگی یہ مصائب رہ گیا تھا کیا میری تقدیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یہ جنازہ ہے یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا آج بابا مر گیا ہے زینب و کلثوم کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یا رسول اللہ یہ جبریل نے رو کر کہا یا رسول اللہ یہ جبریل نے رو کر کہا آئے یہ رو کر کہا ایک حلقہ اور ٹوٹا نور کی زنجیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یہ جنازہ ہے گیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا کیوں چلائی تیغ ہے در پر بنے ملجم بتا کیوں چلائی تیغ ہے در پر بنے ملجم بتا اے بنے ملجم بتا قتل قرآن کر دیا کا ٹاگلا تفسیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یہ جنازہ ہے شاہ خیبر گیر کا ہے علی کا آج بابا مر گیا ہے زینب و کلثوم کا علی کا غم علی کی بیٹیوں کے پھر سے تازہ ہو گئے آئے تازہ ہو گئے غم ابھی بھولی کہاں تھی مادر دلگیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یہ جنازہ ہے کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا یہ جنازہ ہے ہیر کا یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا نظروں میں جانے علی کو کیا خیال آتا رہا آئے خیال آتا رہا منہ کبھی زینب کا دیکھا اور کبھی شبیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا، آج بابا مر گیا ہے زینب و شبیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا، یہ جنازہ ہے کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا۔ بیٹیوں کو دیکھتے ہیں اور روتے ہیں علی، آئے روتے ہیں علی، آئے وہ ظالم تصور شام کی تشہیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا، یہ جنازہ ہے شاہ خیبر گیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا۔ چھوٹے سے عباس بھی روتے ہیں سر کو پیٹ کر، چھوٹے سے عباس بھی روتے ہیں سر کو پیٹ کر، آئے سر کو پیٹ کر، بچپنا عباس کا اور زخم دل پر تیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا، آج بابا مر گیا ہے شبر و شبیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا۔ باپ کی میاس زینب کا لپٹنا بار بار، باپ کی میاس زینب کا لپٹنا بار بار، ہائے لپٹنا بار بار، دل ہلا دیتا تھا رونا شاہ کی ہمشیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا، آج بابا مر گیا ہے زینب و شبیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا شاہ خیبر گیر کا، یہ جنازہ ہے علی کا۔ یا حسین،
صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ، صلی اللہ علیک یا خیر خلق اللہ، یا خاتم النبیین و صفوة المرسلین، صلی اللہ علیک یا امیر المؤمنین علی ابن ابی طالب وصی رسول اللہ، صلی اللہ علیک یا فاطمہ سیدۃ نساء العالمین، صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا محمد یا حسن ابن علی ایہا المجتبى، صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا محمد یا حسن ابن علی ایہا المجتبى، صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا عبد اللہ وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته، صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء،
السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جمع ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.